Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line, y'all. But right now, your Sports Center update.
The Big Ten on Thursday announced it will go to a conference-only season for all fall sports, including football, due to the coronavirus pandemic. According to a court motion and sworn affidavit filed in federal court on Thursday, Zion Williamson's stepfather solicited and accepted a $400,000 payment from a marketing agent in October 2018, prior to Williamson's only season with the Duke Blue Devils. Barbasol shaving cream is available in five fantastic flavors to customize your close shave. Whether it's the classic original or sensitive skin, there's one for every face. Find your favorite Barbasol today. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter. It's on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Joining us right now is our friend Pablo Torre, the new host of ESPN Daily. You can check it out wherever you get your podcasts. I want you all to know that I am a big fan of the resident room and Pablo's apartment building that he's been working out of. And I am very, impressed with the fact that even for around the home, you still have to go to the office in your own apartment building. What has that been like over this point, Pablo?
Yeah, part of me is like, man, Rajon Rondo's hotel room looks a lot better than the Radisson lobby ripoff shared community center that Clinton just very generously described. But the upside is that, yeah, I get to like pretend that I'm going to work. And as someone who has a four-month-old daughter, having the illusion of, oh, normal life, I am going to go to the office, then clock in. Here's my time card I hand to the invisible person who is manning the door. It's a little bit of absurd pseudo-normalcy, which I will take in any dosage I can get at this point.
Right.
Pablo, we've been talking about college football on this show, the Big Ten making their decision to go to conference only. How do you see these dominoes falling? Are you one of the optimistic people, pessimistic people, realistic people? Where do you fall when it comes to college football this upcoming season?
I'm a pessimist, Jen, and I don't
just
know
across
many
the board.
Optimists
just across the board,
at
Pablo.
This point. Yeah, oh yeah, just general cynicism and pessimism. I mean, I live in New York City, so part of me is feeling kind of upbeat because we're on the good side of the curve for the time being. But for me, like, even beyond the philosophical contradictions of what it means to have college sports without, like, college classes and how the NCAA has to reckon with what it means when you really can't even pretend that your student-athletes are students, even in the most superficial sense, there is the issue of, well, how does any of this work? I mean, the NBA bubble is its own fraught proposition that everyone has been talking about, you guys included, of course. But this plan, it doesn't seem like there is a plan. And it seems like even the NFL has a sort of centralized league office that can have, in cases like this, at least a unilateral sense of direction. In college sports, you have all of the dysfunction of the NCAA, plus all the dysfunction of the college conferences, plus all the dysfunction of teenagers. And I just don't see a path forward in the fall. And the spring, I feel like, as has become, I think, thankfully commonplace to point out, all of this stuff only happens when your society is functional, and that's really what we're doing, just kicking the can down the road as much as we can.
Pablo Torre, new host of ESPN Daily, joins us here on the Dan Le Batard Show. Clinton Yates, Jen Latta. Pablo, all right, I got to take you to task a little bit, not through any faults of your own, but you're an Ivy League guy. You're an Ivy League guy, right? Am I wrong on this? Would you qualify yourself as such, or is that just a place you
I am? I have my elbow patches and tweed and Harvard smoking jacket all on my body at the same time somehow. So, yes, absolutely.
Very well. And you are a smart and a cool dude. So let me ask you, why are we jumping to give the Ivy League so much credit for being first on everything when their system of athletic operation is totally different from the rest of the country? Like, they don't have TV contracts. They don't have to deal with the same stuff. Of course they're canceling everything first. I don't get why we seem to be – or is this just typical people sweating the Ivy League because they think the Ivy League is cool?
Well, there's definitely always people sweating the Ivy League, and as someone whose alma mater claims really cool people, like myself, as you've mentioned, and that's on the record, that's on the blurb of my resume now. I'm a cool dude, Clinton Yates. It's also like we're Henry Kissinger wet, so believe me, we sweat all this stuff way too much, and it's absurd. However – the reason I think why the Ivy League tends to be this useful canary in a coal mine, as they were when it came to canceling all of their March Madness and conference postseason stuff back in March and February. It's because when you take money out of the equation, it becomes a little bit clearer to see what we should actually be doing. So you're right. All of the conferences, I'm guessing, and I know really, actually, like it's no surprise. They look at the Ivy League and they're saying, what you said, we have financial obligations here. This football program to us means so much more than it ever will to a place like Brown, for instance, where they're finger painting and quoting postmodern philosophers. However, the Ivy League not caring so much about sports for financial reasons is actually a good North Star for us insofar as maybe the decisions we should all be making right now should be premised on public health and not financial self-interest. And so on that level, the Ivy League backs its way in, and I don't really love how little they care about sports in general, but in this case, they back their way into a position of kind of clarity that I do think is useful to consider.
I will see your Henry Kissinger, Pablo, and raise you a Chris Farley, Doc Rivers, Dwayne Wade. How's that? Okay, you want to go alumni for alumni? I got some.
I mean, I am Jesuit educated as a Regis High School graduate, Jed, so I will never disparage Marquette. Never.
I love it. I love it. The best take that I've seen on Twitter, and there have been a lot of hot takes on the Twitter sphere over the last 24 hours, but the best take I've seen is that COVID-19 was created to force Notre Dame to join a conference. Where do you stand on that as a hot take? COVID-19 will be solely responsible for Notre Dame being forced to join a conference.
So as much as Notre Dame, I'm sure, has many complicated things to figure out right now because of their kind of nomad status, some part of Notre Dame, I have to imagine, feels kind of flattered by all this attention. Like, the upside to being called out as maybe, you know, the equivalent in sports of the absurd Bill Gates invented COVID-19 conspiracy, like Notre Dame did it, Touchdown Jesus did it. The upside is that we're all basically talking in the way that any Ivy League school also loves, in full disclosure. We talk about how special they are and how exceptional they are and how unlike everything else they are. And as somebody who has many friends who went to Notre Dame, I think a large part of them secretly loves the fact that, ooh, yeah, we are different from all of you regular schmoes.
And not so secretly, man. I've seen people who are like, look at all this space we're renting free in your head. And I'm like, cool, but it's actually a legit conversation we need to be having as conferences are canceling non-conference schedules, right? Like, can we talk about who you're going to play? I saw somebody post all of the big-time high schools in Illinois, right? Like the big, like 7A schools, and they were like, probably going to be taking on these guys this year.
I kind of love that idea. Actually, we spend a lot of time when like pro teams are terrible. I remember the conversations about can the University of Kentucky beat the Philadelphia 76ers. I just want to see Notre Dame play high school teams now. Now that you mentioned, I had not thought about it before, and I'm sure it's like immoral on various like physical disparity levels. But now I'm genuinely intrigued by that. That's actually the most interesting thing anyone has proposed to me since talking about what college sports is about to look like.
I mean, I can't believe you're trying to bring morality into college sports and using it as like a benchmark all
losing
of a sudden.
Effort.
It's like, this is immoral. Cool, join the club.
I just want the idea. I just want to imagine, all imagine right now, Mike Golic Jr. just absolutely truck-sticking like a 14-year-old. That's what I want to see and imagine.
Not in my house.
Pablo, and this is sort of a weird and kind of existential question, but like, we're in summer now. We're still trying to figure this out. Do you have any readout on where your mentals are going to be in the fall?
Man, I don't. And I say that simply because one of the truly terrifying phenomena about this time is how numb we can all get stuff. And, you know, so there is the serious level where it's like, boy, I am really desensitized to seeing just numbers of deaths in America, in the world. Like I the human response, the human condition involves a numbness that's terrifying. And so I anticipate more of that, but also like on a more humorous and, unfortunately, dystopian level, I have no idea what's going to happen next, man. Like, I have no idea. I always like to take the exercise of imagining how it is that we will look when we watch the documentary of our time. Like, which characters will we be in that documentary? Will we be the people who are immediately followed? Like, we give a soundbite, and then we're immediately followed by a smash cut to a clip that just renders us completely asinine and obviously myopic and all of this stuff. And the answer, of course, is that we're all going to have that in some form or fashion. I just don't know how. I don't know how they're going to get us. I just have a feeling we're all going to be gotten, and we're not going to like the movie that's going to be put out about our time when we watch it.
He's Pablo Torres, the new host of ESPN Daily. Check it out wherever you get your podcast. Thank you, Pablo.
That was uplifting, and I appreciate you, Dad.
We do our best. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus the Miami Only Hour and the Best Of podcast on demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network, featuring South Beach Sessions. I like that, by the way. Stupidity and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcasts. Clinton Yates, Jen Latta here on a Friday, filling in. College football season is taking a little turn, Jen. You cover that sport. Big Ten came out this week and said, kind of going only conference. Going to try this. Ivy League already said, we're good on everything. We'll see you in the spring. But there's some big games we're missing. You talked about game day not being a thing, but with non-conference rivalries or whatever you even want to call them, budding matchups, there's a lot of stuff that's just not going to happen. You mentioned, you mentioned game day and all that, but I think that, and listen, I don't know no whole ton about college football. All right, I was voting in the Peisman Awards, not the Heisman. SB Nation's joint for fat dudes running down the field scoring touchdowns. That was why I was involved, because I just like everything around it. So if I read these games, they're not going to mean a whole ton to me, to be quite honest. So I need to know from you, Jen, which of these matchups, in your opinion, really is a loss on the overall level? First of all, Iowa-Iowa State. Big rivalry game, yeah?
In-state rivalry, yeah.
Okay. Maryland-West Virginia. I know that's a big deal to Terps fans.
Yeah, but Maryland is, bottom half, cellar dweller of the Big Ten. You know, for them, yeah, big deal. Nationally, no, not even a blip.
Shouts to the Texas Longhorns, who can't beat them. Michigan at Washington.
Big game. Big game. I mean, these are teams, again, whatever you think about Michigan, these are teams that are oftentimes in the conversation for the college football playoffs, certainly in the top 15-10 rankings, right? Pac-12 always needs a representative or tries to get a representative in there. Washington is good as anybody to do that. That's a big game that's going to be lost out on this year as the Big Ten decides no non-conference games.
Michigan State, Miami.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan State's down, been down. I don't know that this one moves the needle for me at all.
Oh, you're not back on the Miami train? I thought I listened to this program for the entire last 2 years, and all I could hear about was Hurricanes football. Talk to me, Cody. I need to understand. I thought I was supposed to care about the Canes. All this nonsense going on the sidelines, that team ain't no good? What's happening?
No, they've fallen off. We had like a couple weeks when we played Notre Dame a few seasons ago, but outside of that, they've kind of fallen back to normal. But this isn't a real rivalry. They just scheduled a home-and-home type thing, Michigan State-Miami. So I don't think anybody's going to be missing that.
Yeah, those
turnover chains, 75% off, guys. Because of these rivalries, like, if it's a rivalry that nobody knows exists, is it an actual rivalry? Like, come on. Like, I know they're regional rivalries, but, like, I feel like some of these are pretty, like, we're stretching it here when we call some of these
rivalries. Yeah, rivalry is... Put it on the poll.
To be fair,
is rivalry overused as a term in sports?
To be fair, these are not rivalries, guys. These are just non-conference games that have been gone because they're now going to conference only. So, like, none of these are. Am I like what I'd be more concerned about is like the Palmetto game, right, between South Carolina and Clemson? Like, that's a game that people pay attention to. Clemson, a continual, obviously perennial powerhouse lately, always in the conversation for national champion. And I would say that South Carolina is on the up and up, right? And so that's one that I think that people are like, man, if ACC does, ultimately decide, because last I checked, they were still deciding, right? Still debating about the conference versus non-conference schedule. That's right. One that, you know, the people I think in that area for sure would be sorry to see go.
I'm the decider. What's up, Cody?
Notre Dame USC, I feel like, is the main one that's the only one. If you would have said to me, what's a non-conference rivalry game that you think of and that gets played every year? I would have named that one, and then I would have been able to, I know all the state ones, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech, but I don't know. Those don't really do much for me. I feel like USC Notre Dame is the big one, the cream of the crop in this conversation.
I'm kind of with you on that, which is why we're breaking this thing down with Jen, because I don't know nothing about why these teams care about each other. I'll be looking at uniforms and what they got going on as far as their field design patterns are. That's what I care about in college football. And I am very upset because college football teams have a lot of cool uniforms that I don't get to look at this year. That's a real big deal in my world.
On the fan base too, Clinton, right? Here in Wisconsin. Obviously, the Badgers are the big program here in this state. Mm-hmm. And the Badgers were supposed to have a game between them and Notre Dame at Lambeau Field. That's a game that people are upset about. They get it. Right. They understand, right, that it has to be relocated and probably won't happen this year because, I think I saw a press release sent out by Barry Alvarez, the Don, as everybody here in Wisconsin knows
him. Love Barry. And
he talked about how they're going to reschedule that game. They're going to get Wisconsin-Notre Dame back at Lambeau Field. But right now, that's something that people are really upset about not being on their schedule this year. So that's not really a rivalry, but it's a game that people circled on their calendar and are definitely now what are we doing that weekend?
Is Colorado at Texas A&M something I could interest you in?
The Buffs have been bad. No.
Cody, could you name either coach on that team?
Come on. Y'all know Texas A&M.
Oh, is it old boy who used to be at Florida State? He's got the goofy name. What's his name?
Jimbo Fisher.
Jimbo! We like Jimbo. Jimbo's a fun name. Okay. I'm not trying to make fun of his name. I just know that that's not his given name. So what are these other? I guess this is what's so weird to me is that if this works, Jen, the only conference schedule, is that considered a success? How do you even have the playoff? What happens after the games is what I guess I wonder, because we have all this question about how the playoffs go and so forth. How do you finish the season at that point if you only play conference games?
Okay, I'll do you one better. Let's say you schedule just conference games, and let's say a team has a COVID-19 coronavirus outbreak and they have to cancel a game. Now you finish your season potentially with less games than the rest of the field, right? What is the threshold for how many games you have to have in order for you to be able to be a legit contender in the college football playoff? Let's say that teams are now playing 8 or 9 games as opposed to the 14 you'd play, and you lose one or two. Are we saying 3 is the threshold? If you lose 3 games and you've only legit played 5 or 6 games, you cannot be in the conversation? Or does that penalize a team for something that's out of their control? Or is it in their control because if you came down with coronavirus, you did something wrong along the way? I don't know the answer to all these things. These are all of the hypotheticals that you don't want to be talking about, but you have to talk about when you talk about how this season's going to go. Fair for a team that only plays 6 games potentially to and they win them all? They win all 6. They're undefeated. You could look at strength of schedule, and you can only play who's on your schedule, and they won all those games, but now are we legit giving them a shot at the college football playoff? It's complicated.
If your name's Alabama, then you are. Coming up, we're going to talk about the NBA some more. I'm Clay Yeh, it's Jen Latta. It's the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio. Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Right now, it's time for your Sports Center update with Jen Latta.
Clinton, give me 1 second. Yes. I'll pull that up for us. In a statement Thursday, the UFC said Mike Perry has apologized and, quote, committed to immediately seek professional treatment, including substance and behavioral counseling, end quote, after a video that showed Perry punching a man at a Texas restaurant resurfaced online Wednesday night. The New Jersey Division of Gaming Enforcement on Thursday instructed the state's sports books to suspend betting on all table tennis events in Ukraine or any matches involving six players after being warned of a potential match fixing. If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably didn't know: your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advanced Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Advance your auto at Advanced Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details. For all the latest headlines and information, just tune into SportsCenter. It's on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So we've skipped over that story in the update all show, but we need to bring this up. Ukrainian table tennis match fixing? Are we serious?
Dude, when there's no...
What kind of Mad Libs of sporting events is that?
When there's no legit major league sports, the bettors of the world will go as degenerate as they have to get their betting fix. So if you're... listen, man, if you are up watching Ukraine table tennis, you're checking the numbers, you're checking the lines, you're putting money down, like...
How does that work? Can somebody, I don't gamble, so I don't know how gambling really works anyway, but I got a loose understanding of the verbiage. How does one bet on a table tennis match? Cody, I feel like you should know the answer.
It's got to be a line, right, Cody?
Vada and websites like that, they have a lot of crazy... I have friends that really dive into the deep realms of gambling. Like, I usually stick
friends,
to the main sports.
Okay.
I know there are a ton of options on Bovada and websites like that.
That's crazy to me. Sidebar, I do follow a lot of table tennis dudes on Insta just because I'm weird like that. And it's dope. You should check that out if you have that kind of time on your hands, which I don't really, but I need my feeds to move.
Yeah, for somebody
constantly.
Who talked about their bandwidth earlier in the show, the fact that you just mentioned you're following a bunch of table tennis people and you're consuming that raises some eyebrows, not going to lie.
Consumption is a strong word, okay? It's available to look at, but, you know, Ukrainian table tennis definitely is not something you should be gambling on if you, you know, respect yourself. Anyway, we started this segment for a reason, Jen, because you had a fairly big story that you wanted to get to, so I will step aside.
Listen, man, I don't know if it's a big story, but you were talking about music earlier, and you're talking about, like, you know, the songs that you heard that you didn't know, and... This is one of those things that has stuck with me for years, decades, if you will. I guess a decade. Back in 2010, I was the host for a little event called Farm Aid. You guys ever heard of Farm Aid? Farm Aid is one of these concerts, right, that they put on. It's like a compilation out there. Show of hands, boys. You guys have heard of Farm Aid? Familiar with it?
I mean,
anybody ever been to a Farm Aid?
This is
one of these so-so semi-semi.
I thought it was a medicine.
Right. Take a little Farm Aid. You'll be better in the morning.
I love it.
It's all plant-based, if you're wondering. Farm Aid is like a concert, right? Like, there's Dave Matthews Band. There's like Neil Young. The one that I did, Norah Jones was there. Willie Nelson was there. And Willie Nelson's son, Lucas Nelson, who has a band called Promise of the Real, was also performing. And I got to interview all of these acts before they went on stage. So it's pretty cool. Band of Horses, another one that was there. And Lucas Nelson and I, we hit it off, okay? There was some winky-winky, nudge-nudge, like, you're cool, going on during the interview. And afterward, he says, hey, Jen, what are you doing during the show? I said, well, as soon as I'm done with my interviews, I'm gonna have a seat like all the rest of these people here at the ballpark, and I'm going to watch the show, like, super excited about this. He says, how about you come back to my trailer, my tour bus. My dad is inviting a bunch of people over. We're going to smoke. You should come.
Okay. Reasonable invitation for anybody around the Nelson family opportunity. You presume that if you are interacting with the Nelson family, weed will be smoked before the sun goes down.
And I'm new in my career a little bit. You know, I'm trying to gain some traction. I'm thinking, man, Jen, I really feel like this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I really feel like when you get invited to go back to Willie Nelson's truck, trailer, what do they call them? Tour bus. It's a tour bus. And you get invited, you should say yes. You should go. You should, consequences be damned. And I said no. I said, thank you so much for the invitation. I really appreciate that. I got stuff I got to do. I don't want to miss Dave Matthews Band and Norah Jones coming up a little later in the show. I politely declined. And Clinton, when I tell you that this has been the biggest regret of my life, I'm not exaggerating. This has been the biggest regret of my life. I said no to smoking with Willie Nelson and his posse. What is wrong with me?
Two things. Nothing is wrong with you, but I have questions. Number one, did what you referred to as the winky, winky, nudge, nudge have anything to do with your decision not to go to a second place with a human you just met?
Possibly, probably, yes, a little bit, right? Like, we were definitely vibing. Like, I don't think maybe Lucas Nelson invites all the women he interacts with back to the tour bus to smoke with his dad. It's possible.
Question.
I don't know.
Is that Lucas Nelson's game? Is he using his dad and weed to try to rope people into his social circle?
Wait a minute. Time out. Are we judging him if the answer to that question is
absolutely
yes?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm saying many people do that. I'm just wondering if there were some sensors that went off because you're like, little too convenient, Playboy.
Man, I think that at some point you use whatever you have, right? And if your dad is Willie Nelson, I think you absolutely throw that out there as bait in the water and see what fish comes biting.
Yeah, I think you've got a reasonable out on this, though. Why would you regret this? It's not like Willie Nelson asked you. You know what I'm saying? Which I think would have been a different decision. I understand why you regret it, but like in that moment, I completely get that.
I know.
Some
I think
rando
I messed up.
Nelson guy says I think I messed up.
Just think of the stories I would have had from that evening hanging out with Willie Nelson in the tour bus. They could have carried me through the rest of my life. I would be a much more interesting human being. People would want to be around me a lot more if I had that story in my back pocket that I could just, boom, drop on the table every once in a while.
Cody, what do you think happens in the Willie Nelson tour bus?
Question is that. I think everybody knows what happens in the Willie Nelson tour bus.
Beyond the consumption of the drogas, I mean, look, Willie Nelson's cool, but like, you're working. You know what I'm saying? I get that.
There was that element as well, Clinton. Thank you for bringing that up. I was on the clock. I was being paid to interview these musicians, right? Even if I would have been off the clock, technically, by the time I would have, you know, moseyed my way down to the tour bus and knocked on the old door, probably would have been bad optics, right? And I wanted to be invited back. I wanted to host that event the next year if it was back in town, right?
Right.
That didn't happen. So, I still feel like this was a missed opportunity. I'm wondering what the listeners out there think. Like, did I screw
Excellent
up royally
question.
By Freedom. Not
quick poll
indulging in
quickie
the...
poll. Put it on the poll. If you had a chance to smoke weed with Willie Nelson, would you turn it down?
I don't know if we need to go that far.
I'm sort of kidding.
Like you said,
but that's
the implication
funny.
Of hanging out with Willie, I think, includes the what you mentioned.
Yeah. I mean, Cody, what's up?
The spot that you don't want to be in is, sure, I'll accept your invitation. I would love to come to your tour bus and hang out, but then pass on that stuff. So you made the right call that if you're not going to partake in the festivities going on, then you need to just decline the invitation because you don't want to be in Willie Nelson's trailer and being like, "Oh, no, thank you."
Oh, this is a hot topic in the shipping container. What's up, Billy?
Is it as cool if you go and Willie isn't there and you're just stuck with Lucas and his friends?
Another excellent point. And that's why I asked about this rope-a-dope move. If this is some way to draw people in, and then you're hanging out all night, oh, Willie's coming. Is Willie here? I don't see Willie. I don't know where Willie is. Oh, well, we're hot. So forget about it. You know what I'm saying? That's the worst case scenario, is that you don't even get to see Willie, and you're all burned out at your job with some side Nelson that you just met that day.
I think you made
the smart decision.
See, and what I think I'm hearing is that I needed to whip out a contract that said, I will accept your little party, assuming that the elder Nelson arrives eminently. And if
Correct.
He does not, then I am well within my right to step lightly out of your tour bus and be fine with my decision to do so.
Correct. And you know how we say that in the black community, Mr. Cody? It's a simple question. Who all gonna be there? Clint Yates, Jen Latta, Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Sounds this week have been brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. We had some guests today. L. Duncan joined us. Pablo Torre joined us. L. basically reminded me that, you know, I'm just a loudmouth dude yelling about baseball and movies. That's cool. I'm okay with that with myself. Pablo Torre joined us, and he gave us his flowery outlook for the rest of the football season. Real talk, though, he was very thoughtful about that. So that was, you know, interesting to think about. What do you think about our guest today, Jen?
Oh, fantastic. Tremendous. Spectacular. I love that you and Elle were comparing your genius cards.
I
can only sit outside of that arena and watch as I pop my popcorn.
I am not claiming anything close to that. Okay. I say this joke all the time on Twitter, and I'm not going to repeat it here, but I didn't get hired at this network because anything I say or anything I write, I'll leave that right there. But I ain't a genius. So there's that. But no, we want to thank y'all for coming on. By the way, I host The Intersection with her 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays right here on ESPN Radio. So, you know, check it out. If you want to hear me talk about more blackity black stuff, you can listen to The Blackity Black Show because that's fun to do. Jen, have you, by the way, learned anything from The Intersection perhaps? Like, has it been of any use to you personally?
First of all, I said this when Elle was on, I think you guys are super smart. And I think that your voices are incredibly valuable
right now.
I think that we would be in a much better place from a country standpoint, from a society standpoint, hell, from a sports standpoint, if we did a lot more listening. This goes back to what my dad said to me when I was a kid. Two ears, one mouth. There's a reason.
Yep.
Right? This is a good time to be doing a lot of listening to people, as Elle so eloquently puts, who are experts at being black. Right? Something
I will never be.
It comes to being black, I like to defer to the people who are experts. I like to listen to what they have to say.
Yay! That makes me feel good. I'm an expert at something. I'm not an expert at anything.
I mean, we're at the last 10 minutes of our three-hour show, and I finally said something to make Clinton feel good. So you know what? Mic drop, I'm out Costanza style.
Excellent work. However, right now, the Twitter poll at Lebatard Show is brought to you by 303 Touchless Sealant for the ultimate protection and shine in no time. Bile, what do we got, Blair? Yes, I did get the reference to Costanza, okay? Thank you. Stop that. I will shut down this show right now and yell and scream at you about Jackie Stiles, the most important black lawyer in the history of American television. Period.
Well, we got our
name another
reference.
Black lawyer who's not Uncle Phil on American television.
I mean, come on. You can't do that. You can't be like, another black lawyer and then
Y'all don't get Uncle Phil. He's ours. I'm joking. Billy, what's up with the polls?
How late is too late to leave your Christmas lights up? February, March, Christmas is year-round, or just don't be the last on your block with lights. 42% of the audience said February. 39% said don't be the last one on your block. 10% said Christmas is year-round, and 7% said March.
Okay. All right, you win that one, Jen. I just want you to know that a guy tweeted me, and he said, as a door-to-door salesman in America, people who keep their Christmas lights up all year are the nicest people in the country. So there's that.
Not the laziest, though. Not the laziest.
Absolutely not.
Just the nicest.
What's next?
Do you think black folks in America are familiar with the Griswolds? 68% of the audience said no.
Thank you. I'm just saying, we all learned something today. I learned about the Griswolds' importance to America. Y'all learned about Juice and Manson Society and a bunch of movies that I liked soundtracks for. Last one. We got one more.
Is rivalry overused as a term in sports? 82% of the audience said yes.
Okay. See, that one we can all agree on. It ain't a rivalry just because y'all want to play each other every year. That don't make no sense. You know, Maryland has no rivals because Maryland is a terrible team. Anyway, coming up, First Take, Your Take. I'm Clayton Yates for Jen Latta. Say bye, Jen.
See ya.
Happy Friday, kiddos.